Today on More to Life, Joyful, Joyful. Having trouble finding joy in the daily grind? We'll help lighten your spirit. 877-573-7825. All of us want a great and grace-filled marriage, family, personal life. St. John Paul's Theology of the Body gives us a blueprint for making that happen.
More to life. Happy couples find little ways to say I do every day.
Faithful insights. Effective tools.
Raising godly kids requires more than stopping bad behavior.
That's right. It means finding ways to make our faith the source of the warmth in our homes.
Practical. Theology of the Body-based answers for every part of your life.
God gave us our feelings. We don't have to be afraid of them.
And we just have to make sure that the first thing we do is ask Him how He wants us to deal with them.
The life you were meant to live through the theology of the body. More to life.
Good morning, everyone. You are listening to More to Life on the EWTN, the Global Catholic Radio Network. I'm Dr. Greg Popchak.
I'm Lisa Popchak.
And today on More to Life, Joyful, Joyful, we're talking about joy. And who wouldn't want to be more joyful? Well, that's what we're going to help you do today on More to Life. Give us a call at 877-573-7825 and tell us what problems in your life or relationships are stealing your joy. You know, is there a particular challenge you're facing that's got you feeling stuck? Are you in a relationship with someone that's just not what you wish it would be? Maybe you're struggling to figure out the next steps that God's asking you to take in the face of a problem. Or, you know, you'd just like to feel a little happier all around. Let us help you discover the blueprint for joy that God has written for you. What's that all about? Let's talk about it. 877-573-7825.
Well, in addition to that, maybe you have somebody in your life whose lack of joy is draining you. You love them, you care about them, but they have a lack of joy for some reason in their lives. They're struggling in some way, and you want to help. For their sake, yes, but also because when you're with them, you kind of feel like you're being drained of sort of, you know, the Holy Spirit working in your life, your ability to be your best self around them as well. And you're wondering, is that selfish of me? How do I help them? How do I help myself be who I want to be when I am with them? Life can be challenging at times, and that can steal our joy and rob our peace. Let's talk about ways to shore that up in ourselves and, yes, those we love. Today on More to Life at 877-573-7825. That's 877-573-7825.
And, you know, it can be hard to be joyful. And we're going to talk a little bit about the difference between joy and mere happiness in a minute. But, you know, We hear over and over in Scripture that we're to rejoice always, to pray constantly, to give thanks in all circumstances.
And that can make us feel really guilty.
Yeah, exactly. It's like, I'm supposed to be joyful all the time. Yay! You know, oh, goody, there's a problem. Ha ha, thank you, Lord.
And
you
then
know.
We look at our own lives, our own perhaps health issues, the state of the world, and we think, I'm failing at this command in
Scripture. But all of those Scriptures about joy aren't a test. They're not saying if you're not joyful, you're failing as a Christian, or you're disappointing God, or you're being a bad child of God, or anything like that. It's an invitation and a promise that the more we are able to draw closer to God and live the life that He's called us to, in good times and bad, the more joy we'll experience. So let's talk that out today on More to Life, and tell us what problems in your life or relationships are stealing your joy. What challenges are you facing that maybe have you feeling a little stuck and frustrated instead of joyful? Are you having a relationship challenge with someone you care about, but that relationship just isn't what you wish it was, whether that was your spouse, an adult child, a family member, or friend? Maybe you're struggling to figure out the next steps God is asking you to take in the face of a challenge, and that's got you frustrated instead of joyful. We want to help you discover the blueprint for joy that God's written for you, and He has written a blueprint for joy for your life. We're going to teach you how to read it today on More to Life. 877-573-7825. Again, that number, 877 573-7825. Every day on More to Life, we take a look at the topic of the day through the lens of St. John Paul's theology of the body. Now, if you're wondering, what is that and how could some theology help me be more joyful? Well, I'm glad you asked. So here's the thing. St. John Paul, when he was Pope, asked a huge question. Basically, he said, if we looked at everything God's given us, you know, creation, scripture, salvation history, you name it, what universal principles could we discern about God's plan for human flourishing and healthy, holy relationships? His answer to that question became what we call the theology of the body.
And that theology of the body reminds us that we were created for joy. St. John Paul taught that God designed our bodies to reveal God's love, and that when we live according to that design, joy naturally follows. But joy and happiness, while related, they're not the same thing. Happiness is a feeling that comes and goes with pleasures or comforts of life, and we all enjoy that. But joy is the fruit of the Spirit. It's a deep inner sense. As the mystic Julian of Norwich said, all shall be well, and all manner of things shall be well.
So happiness depends on what's happening to us, but joy depends on what's happening in us. Joy is rooted in knowing that in good times and bad, God is working for our good. You know, the more we can see God's hand in our life story and say, I see what God's brought me out of, I see what God's brought me to now, and I see where God's bringing me next, the more joy we're going to have, whether this we are in good times or challenging times.
So the theology of the body gives us a roadmap for cultivating that kind of joy by committing to a life rooted in meaningfulness, intimacy, and virtue. Now, meaningfulness, or what St. John Paul called the law of the gift, is my commitment to use everything I've been given to make a positive difference in my circumstances and in the lives of those around me.
Intimacy refers to our commitment to build what St. John Paul called a community of love, by cooperating with God's grace to make all of our relationships as healthy and holy as possible.
And virtue is my commitment to use everything that happens to me, good and bad, as an opportunity to become the whole, healed, godly, grace-filled person God sees when he looks at me.
So, joy isn't something that we chase directly. It's the natural fruit of daily asking, Lord, how are you calling me to pursue meaningfulness, intimacy, and virtue right now, in this moment, in the big things and the little things? The more we pray that prayer and listen to what God says in our hearts in response, the more we're able to discover the blueprint for joy that God has written for our heart. Okay, sounds great in theory. How do you practice it? Well, let's talk it out today and figure out how to read that blueprint for joy that God's written for you. 877-573-7825. Again, that number is 877-573-7825. Let's take our concerns to the Lord, and then we'll start taking your calls. In the name of the Father,
and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Lord Jesus Christ, we come into your presence, and we are heartened by the many scripture verses that promise us that you have created us for joy, and that you desire joy for us. But Lord, so often, challenges in our life, our relationships, problems and difficulties that we face undermine our joy and steal our peace and take us away from that plan that you have for our lives. And so we ask you now, Lord, to help us to rediscover that blueprint for joy that you've written for each of us by pursuing lives rooted in meaningfulness, intimacy, and virtue, in little things and in big things, that when we face any challenge, big or small, our first prayer will always be, Lord, help us to know how to respond to this situation with meaningfulness, intimacy, and virtue, so that we can discover the plan that you have for this situation and for our joy in you. We ask all this through the intercession of the Blessed Virgin Mary, and in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Pope St. John Paul the Great,
pray for us.
And as we conclude our prayer, I also want to invite you to join Pope Leo XIV, who has called all Catholics worldwide to pray the Rosary every day, especially in this month of the Rosary of October, for peace in the world. Download the Ave Maria Radio app and tap prayer to let Father John Ricardo lead you through praying the Rosary every day in this month. And we can tell that those prayers are already working with the things that we're seeing.
Please
God, but we need to keep praying for peace everywhere. Join Pope Leo and his call to pray the Rosary every day this month on your own and with your family so that peace might reign in the world. With that, we are taking your calls at 877-573-7825. We're talking about joy today on More to Life. Our show is titled Joyful, Joyful. What problems in your life or relationships are stealing your joy? Let's talk about what God's calling you to next so that you can discover that blueprint for joy he's written for you. 877-573-7825.
Let's talk now with Darlene, who's listening to EWTN Radio in Nebraska.
Darlene, welcome to More to Life. How can we help you out?
Hi.
Hi, Darlene. What's up?
Yes, we can. What's your question?
Okay, so I joined the Catholic Church 3 years ago, and it's been absolutely life-changing and a blessing. My issue is I have a daughter, and I left a very abusive marriage 12 years ago. And for some reason, my daughter sees the situation very different now, and she tells me that everything's my fault. And by listening to you guys and, you know, going to Mass, you know, I feel like the only thing I can do is give her to God and ask and pray for a conversion of her heart. Because when I'm around her, I am anxious and it's not joyful. And she limits the time I can spend with the grandson. It's all controlled or, you know.
But you still see her? She's not completely cut you out of her life?
Not completely, no.
Okay, so how, what are the, tell me a little bit more about how you do see her and what your relationship is like when you do.
Okay, so here's an example. So I live in an area and her dad doesn't live very far. And she will go to his place for functions and not like include me or ask me to come or anything. So and she won't come to my house, refuses to come to my house. And now, here lately, she went to counseling, and evidently, I think the counselor said, never be alone in the house with your mom. So now her husband is all the time in the house. And if I make...
And what is it, has she shared with you, what is it about being around you that makes her feel unsafe? Again, I'm not saying that you are unsafe. I'm saying that for whatever reason...
How she's interpreting her experience.
You know, so what has she said to you about that?
She just told me that everything is my fault. The way you affect me, it was my job, my marriage, raising my son, my life, and I was an alcoholic, and I've been sober for almost 6 years, and, you know, I've done, amends. She told me, because I just don't know if I can give you the relationship.
You're breaking up, Darlene. So, I think I got enough here now. The piece of the puzzle
we didn't have before was that you're in recovery. So her experience of you, because you've been in recovery for 6 years, and she is an adult with a marriage and a child of her own. The majority of her life, she was dealing with her mom, who when sober was one mom, and when using alcohol or drugs was another mom. And so she's not used to consistency or being able to count on you. Even though the 6 years have been different, that's not her overarching experience, and she doesn't trust it.
And you know, your husband was abusive, and that's horrible. But for whatever reason, she sees him as more predictable, let's say. She knows, but when somebody's an alcoholic, they're less predictable. It's hard to feel safe around them because you don't know who you're going to get. At least with a monster, you know what they're going to be like, right? Whether it's with your husband. And so what I need you to do, Rebecca, is yes, of course, I want you to keep giving the situation to God, but I want you to really look at this in terms of the step of making amends, right? Your daughter feels unsafe around you, and I think you need to acknowledge that with her and say, listen, I've really heard that you feel unsafe around me for whatever reason. I don't completely understand it, but I want to really be able to hear what you need from me in the present to feel safer, to feel heard by me, to feel listened to by me, to feel cared for by me. I'm going to respect your boundaries, right? And I would like to work with you over time to see if we can't create a relationship where you feel safer with me. But I respect where you're at right now, and I'm willing to work with you over time to get to a better place for both of us, if you're willing to work with me on this.
And the joy that you do have, Darlene, from coming into your Catholic faith now, is both the blessing of the joy and everything you're experiencing, but being able to participate in the sacraments of our church is an invitation daily to healing. All of our sacraments are sacraments of healing. And what your daughter is saying is, I haven't caught up to the healing, Mom, and I don't trust this, and it's scaring me. So what you want to do is accept the strength that you are getting from your Catholic faith, from the sacraments that you're receiving in the Catholic Church, and say, Lord, work in me and give me the courage to take the steps that I need to take to meet my daughter where she is and to help her heal. And if that is you saying, I don't want you to feel this way, I want to go to therapy with you so that we can work through this in a way where you feel safe and heard, so that I can have somebody there to help me interpret rather than react to what you're going through. But please, please, Darlene, make this about healing her life, her inner child, her experience. And I warn you with all the passion I can muster, do not make this about grandchildren. Because all she will hear, all any adult child who has wounds from childhood, when a parent says, why won't you let me see my grandkids? That's jumping a fence. What it says to them is, I don't care about you. I only want to be the happy grandma. I only want to be with your children. I don't care what happened to you.
And that's not what you're trying to say.
Not at all.
But that is
what every adult child who has issues with their parents hear when we jump over their pain. We don't get really deeply involved in healing it and say we just want to see the kids.
So, Darlene, in conclusion here, I want to give you a resource, all right? Our book, Having Meaningful, Sometimes Difficult, Conversations with Our Adult Sons and Daughters. It's a book that really talks about how we can repair the relationship that we have, regardless of what caused the damage in the first place, and how we can begin to open our kids' hearts, our adult kids' hearts to us. It's going to walk you step by step through a process here, but don't just give up and say, well, I'm going to give it all to God. Give it to God, certainly, but ask him to teach you how to respond to your daughter's pain in a way that will show her that you are committed to not just healing the relationship, but helping her heal. And that all begins with asking those open-ended questions that allow you to really listen and help her feel heard. Our book, Having Meaningful, Sometimes Difficult, Conversations with Our Adult Sons and Daughters, is going to really walk you through the rest of those steps. And if you need more personalized support through this, don't hesitate to reach out to us at CatholicCounselors.com. Thank you for the call, Darlene, and we hope that we can continue to support you as you work to heal this relationship. And congratulations for coming home to the church. We will add you to our and your family to our More to Life prayer intentions list. With that, we got to go to break. When we come back, we're continuing to take your calls about cultivating joy on our show titled Joyful, Joyful. Are you having a hard time finding joy in the face of the problems and challenges you're experiencing in your life or relationships? Let us help you discover the blueprint for joy that God's written for you. 877-573-7825. In addition to taking your calls, we come back, we'll be joined by pastoral counselor Jacob Flores Popchak. He'll be sharing some insights on cultivating joy. Stick around for that and a whole lot more when More to Life continues right after the break.
When the need for senior care arises, home is where the heart is. Visiting Angels provides home care for mom or dad up to 24 hours per day, including personal care, meals, and light housework. You may select your professional caregiver with Visiting Angels. More information at visitingangels.com or at 877-374-LIVE. That's 877-374-LIVE. Visiting Angels, America's choice in senior home care.
You like pizza? Me too. And for that, we can thank our friend, Tom Monahan. First, he starts with $900 and opens one pizza shop. Then it's worldwide, thousands of shops. But all this was just a warm-up for his greatest achievement yet. He built a university.
God inspired Tom to build up generations of men and women who have a hunger to reach the world for Christ. This place is Ave Maria University.
Visit avemaria.edu to see what's next.
Maybe you've been hearing a lot about the need to make a spiritual communion while participating from home in a live streamed or broadcast mass. Maybe you've even prayed the prayer of spiritual communion. Spiritual communion is a concept that goes all the way back to the 4th century. It flourished in the Eastern Church and gradually moved west. Spiritual communion stresses the transcendence of God, where we unite our desires, intentions, and loves with the holy sacrifice of the Mass and the consecration of the Eucharist at the altar. Jesus, I embrace you and unite myself wholly to you.
Do you own popular index mutual funds or ETFs? If so, you're automatically owned shares of companies that conflict with your moral beliefs. Ave Maria Mutual Funds are managed to conform to pro-life and pro-family values. Long-term investors can invest in the no-load Ave Maria Mutual Funds. The experienced professional portfolio managers make decisions based on investment fundamentals and pro-life values. You can learn more about Ave Maria Mutual Funds today at 866-AVE-MARIA or visit AveMariaFunds.com.
Thank you for joining us today on More to Life on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. I'm Lisa Popchak.
I'm Dr. Greg Popchak. Today's show is titled Joyful, Joyful. Are you having a hard time finding joy in the face of the challenges you're experiencing? Let's find the way forward. 877-573-7825. Joining us right now, Jacob Flores Popchak. He's a pastoral counselor with CatholicCounselors.com. He's an expert on practical applications of the theology of the body and a published author and illustrator. Jacob, welcome to More to Life.
I'm glad to be here.
Glad to have you. So we're talking about joy, but I guess one of the things I'd like to ask you is when people sort of say to you, how am I supposed to be joyful when I'm feeling, you know, anxious all the time or angry about this or frustrated about that? Because I think most of us think of joy and those other kinds of bad feelings as enemies of one another.
Right. Yeah. And ironically, I think that is the reason that most people don't experience more joy in their lives, right? Because we sort of set up this false dichotomy for ourselves where, hey, I want to feel joyful, and in order to feel joyful, I have to stop feeling anxious, or I have to stop feeling frustrated, or I have to stop feeling sad, or whatever the case may be, right? And this can create a kind of repressive mentality where, you know, I end up saying, okay, you know, if I feel even a little bit of anxiety, that's an enemy to my joy. I've got to let that go. I've got to ignore that. You know, if I feel even a little bit of frustration, I've got to let that go. I've got to ignore that. And it becomes kind of a weird parody of asceticism, right? Where, you know, we imagine sort of the Buddhist monk on the mountain going, oh, I'm unfazed by everything. And we for some reason, despite being Catholics, think that that's like sort of the model for holiness. And so we
yeah, it's kind of shoved down our throats on social media, so it, you know, comes from an honest place,
yeah,
unfortunately.
Yeah, that's a fair point. That's a fair point. And it's easy to sort of project that then onto holy cards and things like that, right? But ironically, that does set us up for failure. Because if every time I feel a quote-unquote negative feeling, I fixate on it to try to make it go away, what's going to happen? I'm going to feel more of that feeling, right? It's like if I tell you, hey, don't think of a pink elephant with purple spots, you're thinking of an elephant with purple spots, right? in the same way, if I'm fixating on, oh, I got to stop feeling anxious, I got to stop feeling anxious, I got to stop feeling sad, I got to stop feeling frustrated, it's just going to increase that feeling.
So what do we do instead? I mean, how do we cultivate joy in the face of that anxiety or sadness or anger?
Well, you beat me to the punch. You got it right there. So the way to do that is to recognize that these feelings can all get along, right? The way I like to imagine myself is as a teacher of a schoolroom, and all the little kids in that schoolroom are my individual feelings. I don't need to get rid of some of those kids so that other kids can have a chance to talk, right? I'm not going to throw out the sadness kid or the anxiety kid or the fear kid. I'm not going to throw them out the window just so the joy in the kid in the back can raise his hand and talk. No matter how tempting it may be. Right. I'm going to sit with each of them, and I'm trying to get them to take turns, and I'm going to sit with my feelings and recognize that if I just honor my anxiety and hear it out, I can feel it and joy at the same time. I can feel sad and joyful at the same time. And in fact, this is the heart of, I think, everything you guys are talking about, you know, with joy not being the same thing as just simple happiness. Joy is something I can feel at the same time as the other feelings. I can teach them to play together nicely, right, like those little kids in the schoolroom, which then allows me to not paranoidly fixate on a negative feeling when it shows up as an enemy to joy. I mean, we'll just treat it as sort of a side dish to the joy that I'm feeling.
Well, and in the face of those feelings, I can even say, you know, where am I experiencing the meaningfulness, intimacy, and virtue that leads to joy? Or how can I respond to these situations in a way that leads to more meaningfulness, intimacy, and virtue that leads to joy? So I'm able to hold both of those things and kind of create that space for all those feelings to be able to let God lead me through it and out of it. Jacob, thank you so much for being with us. Great insights. Love that metaphor. And if folks would like to learn more about Jacob's good work, you can come on over to CatholicCounselors.com. Right now, we're taking your calls at 877-573-7825. Let us help you increase your joy.
Whom does Jesus invite to enter the kingdom of heaven? The Catholic Catechism tells us he invites all to enter. Originally announced to the Israelites, the kingdom is now open to people of every nation. But to enter that kingdom, one must accept Jesus' word. The kingdom belongs to the poor and lowly with whom Jesus identifies. The poor and lowly means those who have accepted the kingdom with humble hearts. To the little ones, the Father is pleased to reveal what is hidden from the wise and the learned. Jesus makes active love toward the poor of every kind a condition for entering the kingdom. Jesus invites sinners into the kingdom and speaks of the joy in heaven over the repentance of just one sinner. Jesus' invitation to the kingdom comes in the form of parables. To enter the kingdom, mere words are not enough, however. Deeds are also demanded. One must give everything. This is Peggy Stanton, and this has been the Order of Malta's Minute with the Catechism.
Christ is the answer, with Father John Ricardo.
John chapter 11, verses 21 to 26. This is the story of Lazarus. Lazarus has died. Lazarus is one of his best friends. Just before this passage, we hear the news that Martha and Mary send word to Jesus that the one you love is sick. And the next line in the scripture is, now because Jesus loved Martha and Mary and Lazarus, he stayed where he was. His friend's in need. He can heal. They've seen him heal before. And yet somehow, because he loves him, he stays. And Lazarus dies. And then Jesus shows up 3 days later and is greeted by Martha and Mary, who confront him with the words, Lord, if you had been here, my brother would never have died. Rather applicable for many of us in our lives. We ask the Lord to do one thing because we're certain it is what we think is best, when in fact he has something which far surpasses what we ask for. The challenge is, in waiting for that to happen, we go through very trying times, which oftentimes makes us wonder, does he really care?
Hi, I'm Dr. Greg Popchak. Jesus reminds us that the key to receiving mercy is being merciful to others. Being merciful means treating people in a manner that reminds them of their worth in God's eyes. We have lots of chances to practice being merciful all day, but the best place to start is in our marriage and family lives. Here are some ways you can begin being merciful to your spouse and kids and reminding them of what they're worth in God's eyes. First, be demonstrative with your love and affection. Let your spouse and kids feel God's love for them flowing through your arms when you hold them. Second, serve with joy. Remind your spouse and kids how much they're worth to God by taking the time to respond promptly to their concerns and requests. And third, bear wrongs patiently and forgive willingly. By practicing these spiritual works of mercy, we give our spouse and kids a physical reminder that nothing they do will separate them from God's love or ours. To learn more about being merciful in your marriage and family life, check out my book, The Beatitudes, 8 Ways to Be an Awesome Dad, or visit CatholicCounselors.com.
We're so grateful to be with you today on More to Life on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. I'm Lisa Popchak.
I'm Dr. Greg Popchak, and in fact, we're downright joyful to be with you today on our show titled Joyful, Joyful, as we talk about how to increase our experience of joy. By the way, you know, one of the places that we need to experience more joy is in our home life, because parenting is tough, right? But we have a great resource to help you create a more joyful home and be a more joyful Catholic mom or dad. It's called Catholic Home. That's spelled H-O-M. It stands for Households on Mission. And it's a great resource to help you create the family life that God wants for you. We provide daily coaching on the Catholic HOM app to help you overcome the hurdles and the struggles and the challenges and the frustration that you face in parenting, and guide you step by step to creating a more dynamic, beautiful, loving, caring, connected Catholic family life. Plus, in addition to the coaching that you can get from Lisa and I and our whole team of pastoral counselors, you get tons of creative resources like monthly downloadable activities, exclusive podcasts, monthly live streams where you can join and ask questions and create a sense of community, and just tons of more stuff that you'll find there to help you create the family life that God wants for you. We'd love to support you on your journey and help you create a more joyful home. You can get started with 2 months free when you choose the annual plan for just $149, or go month to month for $14.95. One subscription covers both mom and dad and gives your whole family access to all the activities and coaching. With Catholic Home, you don't have to feel overwhelmed or alone anymore. We can help you be a more joyful parent and create a more joyful family life. Subscribe today wherever you get your apps and become part of the Catholic Home community. That's Catholic H-O-M for Households on Mission. See you there. With that, we're taking your calls right now at 877-573-7825.
Let's talk now with Julie, who's listening to EWTN Radio in St. Louis.
Hey, Julie, welcome to More to Life, listening on Covenant Catholic Radio. What's up?
Hey, guys, it's me again. Your topic is awesome. I loved who you had on, one of your counselors, about how it confused joy, all that stuff, and I am so guilty of it. And I think all of us are. But my question is, I do notice that you've heard me talk about my marriage and how broken it is and stuff, and I feel like both of us are very afraid to make the first move towards healing, because I think that comes with a certain vulnerability. And when I was listening to you guys' intro, you know, I could admit that I was kind of crying and talking about how I miss my husband to myself. And, like, if I want things to change, you know, like, I might have to be the first person, you know, if he's not going to make a move. And I was just asking your screener, you know, if maybe you guys could, if you had any ideas of little things I could do to create joy between my husband and I. I know that sounds very,
No, like, I think that's beautiful.
But I feel
no, and in fact, that's kind of the start of things, you know, because actually the research on marriage counseling that really shows that if anybody wants to begin improving their relationship, you need to start by looking at the positivity to negativity ratio in the interactions between two people, right? And what that basically means is that happy couples maintain a 20-to-1 ratio of positive interactions to negative ones. And this doesn't mean like big interactions. I mean, it means like they're 20 times more likely to smile at each other when they walk in the room, or give each other a hug before they leave the room, or just those little bids, as they're called, for that say I love you, or I care about you, or I'm thinking about you. You know, I go get myself a cup of coffee and I get you one even though you didn't ask for it. I tell you that I love you when you didn't expect it. I just look at you when you're talking to me instead of staring at my phone. Those little things that say I'm paying attention to you and I care about you and I'm here for you. And we can start to create change in that relationship and make it safer to be more vulnerable with each other by looking at what are those little things I can do that feel safe enough. I mean, it's going to feel vulnerable, but I'm not asking you to like risk everything by bearing your heart, but by just doing those little thoughtful gestures and really ramping that up to say I'm here for you, I care about you, and I want to be here with you. And the more you can do that, the more it makes it safe to be that vulnerable that you're talking about. The other part of this, though, maybe pray about this, but I'd like you to go to your husband and I'd like you to say, listen, I know that we have stuff that we need to work out. I know we've got a lot of things to kind of sort out, and we, you know, you told our screener you fight about money, and you know, just lots of stuff. And you can acknowledge that, you know. But say, you know what? I'd like us to be able to enjoy each other more, even while we're working through that hard stuff. And look at two questions. Number one, when do you guys enjoy each other at least a little bit more than you usually do?
And that's a conversation that you're both going to have. You can even, you know, each grab a piece of paper and take a day or two to just write down times when you have enjoyed each other more and figured out what those things were so that you can repeat them.
And then secondly, you know, what would help us enjoy each other more? You know, you both kind of come up with a list of this list, by the way, they're not things you have to do. They're things to talk about and pray about doing, right? I don't want either of you to feel like you're giving the other a list of demands, right? It's just, these are things that I think would really help me enjoy you or us enjoy each other more. And again, they're an invitation. It's not a command. It's not a test. You're placing an order or anything like that. It's just, these are things that I think would really, you know, help us enjoy each other more, because we've done them in the past and they've been enjoyable and we felt better about each other after we've done them, you know. And so you're looking at both those things that occur naturally. You're asking yourselves to reflect, you know, when do we feel a little bit more joyful around each other, or like we can enjoy each other's company a little bit more? And then you actively work to replicate those things. And then secondly, you just generate different ideas on your own to say, these are things that we didn't do to enjoy each other. And I want you to kind of take your tip from what Jacob was saying in that segment, that you can both cultivate that enjoyment of each other at the same time as you're feeling frustrated about the other stuff. And in fact, what healthy couples do that, right? And that's what separates them. You know, the research, this is surprising, but the research really shows that happy couples and unhappy couples argue about the same amount. And they're about as good as each other at solving problems. The difference isn't that happy couples have fewer arguments or are better at solving problems. The difference is happy couples work hard to try to maintain that ability to enjoy each other even while they're working through the hard stuff. So they look for little ways to take care of each other, to play that game, or to take that walk, or to pray together, or have that dinner together, even when they don't feel like it.
And they, first of all, they know what those things are, which is very, very important. So really, when we're telling you, Julie, to really have these conversations, make these lists. Most people who are listening, you might be feeling this way, Julie, a lot of our listeners are going to have this message that pops to the front of their mind, which is, well, if my spouse loved me, they'd just know what makes me feel close to them. They would just do the things that make me enjoy them. They must not love me enough to figure it out. We are not given extrasensory perception when we take the sacrament of marriage into our hearts, minds, and lives together. We are given the grace to be able to have those conversations, lean into intimacy in our marriage, not just physical intimacy, but the intimacy of our hearts and our spirits as well, and to have the ability to say, I'm going to work hard to let my spouse know what I need to feel loved, to enjoy my relationship with them, even while we're going through times of difficulty or struggle. And I'm going to communicate what matters to me on this in a gentle and loving way, because our marriage is a long-term thing. And it's when we get through one argument, that's behind us and we can get on with the next thing. We have to have the thread that goes through this be our caretaking and love of each other.
So again, I'd love for you want to start this conversation by acknowledging that, yes, we do have difficulties, and I'm not trying to whitewash that,
right?
Okay, but I'd also like to be able to enjoy each other more. Let's come up with some ways to do that, and then use the format that we're talking about. I'd actually encourage you to download the podcast and play this segment for your husband and listen to it together and really pray about it, so that you're not telling him what to do, but the two of you are working on this project together. Okay. The other thing, I'm going to give you a couple of resources to follow up. Our book, For Better Forever, A Catholic Guide to Lifelong Marriage, has an exercise in it called the Love List exercise that I think would be tremendously helpful for you. So you can check that out, For Better Forever, A Catholic Guide to Lifelong Marriage, which really provides an overview of the Catholic vision of marriage and how any couple can begin to work together to create that relationship that God wants for you. The other book is How to Heal Your Marriage and Nurture Lasting Love. Again, that's How to Heal Your Marriage and Nurture Lasting Love. Both of them are available at CatholicCounselors.com. And while you're there, Julie, since you mentioned that you've called before and that you have several different issues that you're working through, I'd really encourage you to reach out to us at CatholicCounselors.com to learn more about our pastoral counseling practice, where we can help you find faith-filled answers to those challenges that you and your spouse are facing, so that you guys can start working together with the skills that allow you to cooperate more effectively with God's grace and build the relationship he wants for you. Thanks so much for the call, Julie. If there's more we can do to support you, don't hesitate to reach out at CatholicCounselors.com, where you can find out more about those two books, For Better Forever and How to Heal Your Marriage, as well as learning more about the Pastoral Solutions Institute's counseling practice, pastoral counseling practice. All right. With that, we are continuing to take your calls at 877-573-7825. Again, that number is 877-573-7825. We're talking about joy, and in particular, how we can, if you will, hold space for both joy and whatever else we happen to be feeling. You know, so if we're feeling anxious, or we're feeling sad, or we're feeling frustrated, or we're feeling angry, or you name it, how can we start to cultivate or if you will, fan those sparks of joy that are even in that experience, so we don't feel like we have to just get rid of all the negative feelings to feel joy, but we can include joy in that experience of those hard feelings and let it bloom from there. 877-573-7825. As we head out, it's time for our scripture of the day, which comes to us from John chapter 5, verses 10 and 11.
If you keep my commandments, you will remain in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and remained in his love. I have told you this so that my joy may be in you and your joy may be complete.
And when Jesus uses the word commandments, he's not talking about laws. He's talking about what we've been discussing on the show here. His teachings for leading a more meaningful, intimate, and virtuous life, regardless of the circumstances we're in. When we're able to respond to the little and big challenges we face every day by asking, how can I use my gifts to make a positive difference in this situation or the lives of the people around me? How can I respond to this challenge in a way that makes my relationships deeper and stronger and healthier and holier? And how can I look at this situation as an invitation to grow into more of the person that God wants me to be, that whole, healed, godly, grace-filled person he's calling me to be? The more we are able to experience joy, even in the middle of difficulties, and even in the middle of those feelings of anger or frustration or sadness or anxiety or you name it, by following those commands to lean into meaningfulness, intimacy, and virtue, we can cultivate the joy that God has for each of us. And we're taking your calls right now at 877-573-7825. What's getting in the way of you experiencing more joy in your life? Let us help you find answers to the challenges and learn how to read the blueprint that God's written for his plan for joy for you. 877-573-7825. Back in a minute.
This program is brought to you by the following nonprofit underwriter.
Are you longing to hear God's voice? Lord, Teach Me to Pray, the free Ignatian prayer series, will open your heart to his voice, to the peace you are seeking, and the only love that fulfills the human heart, Jesus. God is calling you to true joy, knowing Jesus personally. Lord, Teach Me to Pray is free. Go to LordTeachMeToPray.com, click on the red box, order the Lord, Teach Me to Pray series now. Go to LordTeachMeToPray.com.
Hello, Steve Ray here from Footprints of God Pilgrimages. The land of our Lord and our Lady is calling us. We're heading back to the Holy Land over Christmas break this year. We have the best, most reliable guides and services awaiting us. The holy sites are open, and the local Christians are anxious to see us. Galilee, Jerusalem, Nazareth, Bethlehem. No crowds, no lines. Hope you can join us.
Find the Ave Maria Radio travel tab at AveMariaRadio.net.
He is only one of four popes honored as the great.
Matthew Bunsen and the Doctors of the Church.
St. Leo I was pope at a time when Roman civilization was being overrun by barbarian armies. He stood as a light in the darkness and even saved the city of Rome from destruction by Attila and the Huns. Leo died in 461.
For more about the Doctors of the Church, visit doctorsofthechurch.com.
You like pizza? Me too. And for that, we can thank our friend, Tom Monahan. First, he starts with $900 and opens one pizza shop. Then it's worldwide, thousands of shops. But all this was just a warm-up for his greatest achievement yet. He built a university.
God inspired Tom to build up generations of men and women who have a hunger to reach the world for Christ. This place is Ave Maria University.
Visit avemaria.edu to see what's next.
Want more tips for living a more joyful, abundant life through the gift of the theology of the body?
Well, and follow us on Facebook at More to Life with Dr. Greg and Lisa, and on Twitter and Instagram at Catholic Counselors. We'll see you there.
Welcome back to More to Life on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. I'm Lisa Popchak.
I'm Dr. Greg Popchak, and today's show is titled Joyful, Joyful, as we talk about increasing our experience of joy even in the hard times and even in the middle of those quote-unquote negative feelings like anger, frustration, anxiety, sadness, and the rest. How can we lead a more joyful life in good times and bad? That's what we're here to help you with. 877-573-7825.
We're talking now with Kara, who's listening to EWTN Radio in Massachusetts.
Hi, Kara. Welcome to More to Life. What's going on?
Hi, guys. Thank you guys for taking my phone call.
Sure,
I've never talked on a show like this before. So my walk with faith has been, you know, it's been really hard because I'm a whole different person than I used to be. And a lot of people can't understand that. And so it's easy to kind of walk to the beat of your own drum and to give it to God and do all those things when it's outside people. But when it's our family and our friends and people that we really love, it becomes hard. So
sure.
So imagine you were having struggles with your son. How exactly is your son reacting to your faith, or how has faith become a wedge between you and him?
I think that I'm really difficult to understand. I think he's very analytical and very math, science.
Give me a concrete example though of a situation where you feel like this has become a problem between the two of you.
Well, we don't speak right now, so we're not speaking. And his dad and I ended up in a custody situation in court. It's honestly.
How old is your son, Kara?
He's 16.
He's 16. Was the incident that led to you two not speaking, and how did your faith have anything to do with it?
I think that I became too outside the box, and I think that my faith is, I go to church 3 times a week. I pray to saints for hours. I'm very, I pray a lot, a lot, and a lot of people don't understand how I could pray so much and how I can be so engulfed in it, but it's before.
Okay. No, I understand that. So here's the thing, Kara. I want to give you props for your dedication and for the faith that you're showing and for coming back into the church. I think that's all very beautiful.
And you've fallen back in love with God, or in love with God for the first time, in love with His church, and that is fantastic. And so when you're praying for all this time, you're getting your own tank filled up, you're experiencing your own sense of healing, and that is a beautiful gift from God. But every single follower of God is called to move outside of that and heal relationships.
Yeah, and so what's happening, Kara, is that, when we fall in love with somebody, we want to spend all our time with him or her, right? We want to spend all our time with that person.
Including when we fall in love with God.
And that can be unhealthy, even in our relationship with God, because the time we spend with God, God wants to send us back out to heal the relationships and to heal the damage that sin has done to our relationships. And what your son is experiencing is you running away from him.
He feels that you're almost cheating on your relationship with him, with God. Now, that doesn't mean you stop your relationship with God. That means you take all the love and healing you're experiencing in your prayer life, and you begin to work on healing and loving your son.
The thing is, you know, you're going through a lot with the divorce and the custody battle and all of this, and I know that, as I do, we feel safer when we're in the presence of God. We feel consoled when we're in God's presence. We feel assured when we're spending that time in prayer, and those are beautiful things. But we can inappropriately use that relationship with God as kind of a drug to make ourselves feel better, instead of giving us the grace and the courage to go out and do the work we need to do to heal the relationships. Your son doesn't have a problem with your faith. Your son has a problem with you abandoning him for your faith.
Now, you are not intending to do that, but that is how he's perceiving it. So two things are happening here. Your relationship with your son is becoming more broken because of it, and your son's possible relationship with God in the future is at jeopardy because he feels that God has stolen his mom and put him into a difficult position between his mom and his dad and created all of this pain in his life. Now, when you're praying, and don't stop praying, but then ask God in your prayer time, Lord, you're filling me up with your love. You're filling me up with your healing. I'm so contented when I'm with you. What do you want me to do with this? How do you want me to reach out to my son today? How do you want me to be able to heal this situation, especially now that he's not speaking to me?
Teach me how to be the mom he needs me to be, the mom that can reveal your love for him through me. So, Kara, you know, there's a common misunderstanding that a lot of people have, especially new converts, but honestly, a lot of Catholics. We see Catholic spirituality as primarily a monastic thing, where we have to withdraw from the world to find God. That is a monastic approach to spirituality, and it's very beautiful, and we all need to take time out from the world to go find God and just kind of, you know, really hear his voice and recharge our batteries and really kind of be in the presence of the Lord. That's a beautiful and important thing. But staying there isn't the lay vocation. That's a monastic vocation. The lay vocation,
I have to say that even in monasticism, most people in monastic communities exist in communities. They're still there to serve and care for one another.
But especially the lay approach to spirituality, Catholic spirituality, is to be more of what we might call an active contemplative. In other words, I am living my life. I'm doing the work that God's given me to do. I'm having the relationships with the people that God placed in my life. And I'm always praying in the back of my head. I'm keeping that prayer going, Lord, help me respond to this person the way you want me to. Help me respond to this situation in a way that leads to more meaningfulness, intimacy, and virtue. Lord, teach me how to respond to this feeling I'm having right now because I don't know what to do about it. Help me respond to this situation in a more graceful way. I'm keeping the Lord with me, but rather than finding the Lord by withdrawing from life, it's my job as a lay Catholic to bring God into that moment and consecrate that moment to God by praying through it and letting him lead me through it. So your approach to prayer is beautiful, but it's not letting you have the life that God wants and is calling you to. It's having you pretend that you're a monastic, and you're not. You're a mom, and you're a woman in the world, and it's your job as a lay Catholic to consecrate the world to Christ, not run away from the world so that you can be with Christ.
And it's a bit of a different perspective because we're not really taught how to live in the world, especially as parents, and be able to take our deep faith and share it with our family members. But it is certainly something that is very doable, and I believe it's why the Holy Spirit had you call us today, Kara, because God wants to take you to the next step. You have this deep relationship with him now. You have this wonderful prayer life. We're not telling you to give that up. But the next step is, okay, now, Lord, how do I do this on a day-to-day basis and heal my relationship with my son and heal my son's heart?
So you have a beautiful heart. You have a beautiful, flourishing faith. Your intentions are all good and all in the right place, but you're going to need some support to really direct that energy in a healthier way and use the grace that God is giving you from all that time in prayer to start healing the damage that sin has done to your life and to your relationships. I know that the advice we've given you here will help get you down the road, but if you would like more personalized support, and I believe that you might need it, I'm really going to encourage you to reach out to us at CatholicCounselors.com. to really learn more about this approach, about bringing God with you into your life and consecrating these little moments in your life to God by praying through them as opposed to running away from them and hiding out in your spiritual life. You can learn more at CatholicCounselors.com, and we'll hook you up with a faithful, professional Catholic counselor to help you live in this more active, contemplative way that enables you to hear God's will and hear His voice and know what He's calling you to every step of the way, so that the grace that you're receiving from your relationship with God can lead to healing in every part of your life. And that goes for you listeners as well. If you have been hearing some of the things on the show and thinking, I like what I'm hearing, but I don't know how to apply it. Well, that's what CatholicCounselors.com is for. Let us help you connect with a faithful, professional Catholic counselor to transform your marriage, family, and personal life in the light of God's grace and experience more joy in every part of your life. That's CatholicCounselors.com, where you can learn how to make your faith, life, and relationships flourish. Thanks so much for tuning in. Until next time, remember that with God's grace, there is so much more to life. Have a blessed day.
More to Life is a co-production of CatholicCounselors.com, Ave Maria Radio, and EWTN Radio, and is carried across the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. For copies and downloads of this program, and for more information, visit AveMariaRadio.net.